What is up, ladies and gentlemen of the betting world? It is Tuesday, October 8th. You're listening and watching the NFL Roundtable, and we're here to talk about NFL Week 6. Before we get to these games and before we get to our show, I just want to mention briefly a little on a more serious note. A lot of crazy things going on around the world right now, but I know my mind, my heart, my thoughts and prayers, whatever you do out there. I know as far as this show goes, I'm thinking about Florida, Hurricane Milton. I don't know about you guys, but I don't remember a time where a hurricane formed off the Gulf of Mexico and is barreling east. Just seems like that's a wild, wild thing happening right now. So thinking about, I'm sure we all have friends in Florida. I know a lot of our watchers and listeners probably do as well. So thinking about Florida, praying for Florida throughout this show. We're certainly going to have a game or two affected by that this week when we talk about it. But as far as we go, you're listening to the NFL Roundtable. We're back for another week where we have a panel of NFL betting experts with us. A lot of the usual suspects. We got Patrick Gates at Gator Betting on X. We got Jake Circus at Jake Circus. Check out both of their podcasts as well. Of course, I'm your host at Farley Betts on X. And our special guest is an OG of the betting industry as far as I'm concerned. I worked with him before at the 33rd team. Still works over there at Roto Underworld. And with, what's that other one called? Establish the Run, ETR. That almost slipped my mind there, Ryan. The great Ryan Reynolds is with us today as well. Welcome, Ryan, to the NFL Roundtable. And boys, let's just get started as we usually do. Ryan, I'll start with you. How was your NFL Week 5?
You know, I'm kind of pretty disciplined when it comes to sports betting. I'm very emotionless. But I will say this. When I go 4-1 against the spread in a week, that genuinely makes me happy. So I've done that twice in a row, and I'm soaring pretty high off that, pal.
4-1 is great. Yeah, 3-2 in contest bets for me. Almost went 4-1. Steelers let me down. What was your one loss?
Oh, the Saints last night.
Oh yeah, those Saints. I had this. Yeah. I had the Saints as well. I don't know if you saw my tweet, but that it's just one of those games where the Saints were rolling on that first drive. I feel like if mm-hmm. that first drive goes differently, it might be a completely different game, right?
Yeah.
Because they were kind of hanging around in that one, but Kansas City did what Kansas City does. Yeah. Patrick Gates, Week 5. How was it for you, buddy?
Great. 5-2-1. You're my favorite play of the week, the Dolphins +1. Your favorite bet of mine, cashed easy. No sweat at all. That was a free winner, but no, another good week in the NFL, so can't complain.
Was that a 15-10 finish? Is that what the final score was?
Yep, it was. Big barn burner. That total at 35, I think, was still too high that they set. So, yeah.
It was hard for me to come around to it, but then you see the result on the field. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, that was way too many points.
Yeah.
All right, so a great week for two of you. I know 3-2 for me overall, relatively even. I was in the positive in Week 5, but still not hitting my stride just yet. I'm sure I will soon. Jake Circus, Week 5. How was it for you?
Yeah, our first losing week of the year, 4-5. I actually went 3-2 in contest, so rolling there. 4 out of 5 winning weeks in contest, but didn't play the Saints in contest, didn't play the Panthers, didn't play the one other loss that I had. Oh, the Jets that lost on Sunday morning. So all those I had bets, they all lost. None of them were in contest. So it's all right. But yeah, we keep it rolling. 15-10 in contest, so 4 out of 5 winning weeks. So I guess I can hang my hat on that.
4 out of 5 winning weeks is pretty damn good, Jake. I mean, you know, about time maybe you join me at least once in that circle on the other end. But good to hear from all of you relatively overall. I'm trying to think about our best bets that we all had last week. I should probably know that before I get in the show. So as the host, I'll be better at recording that. Did we all win our best bets?
No, I think Maddie and I both had the Browns.
Oh yeah, and Matt had the Steelers, I think too, which was a prime disappointment. I completely forget how I think I might have chose the Broncos, which that's a W for me if I did. I'll be better at that for our next show for Week 7. Best bets are going to come at the end of this show as they always do, and we got some scheduling snafus to get through today. I know Ryan has a limited amount of time to be with us, so does Patrick. So we're going to try to get through these games nice and quick right from the beginning. And we're going to start with every primetime game, actually, because there's a lot to talk about in these three primetime games. And I especially want to hear what Ryan has to say about a few of those New York teams. Let's start with Thursday Night Football, though. The San Francisco 49ers visiting Seattle. Seattle opened up as a 3.5-point underdog at home. It's 3 at some books. It's still 3.5 at other books. You see a little more juice on Seattle side. I'll say this just to start us off is I'm starting to wonder if some of the end of game failures for the 49ers are a microcosm of maybe something bigger going on. 22 points in 5 games in the fourth quarter. That's 4.4 points per game, being outscored 36-22. Just not closing out these contests. Of course, their defense is still banged up. They're still without Christian McCaffrey. So you have to put some asterisks there next to some of these contests. But I still expect more from San Francisco. And now this is a really tough spot, right? You're going up to Seattle. Seattle's off 2 losses. And I would say probably a pretty surprising result last week, letting the Giants go for over 400 yards and over 20 first downs against you. So Seattle's probably going to be pretty amped up for this one, and they don't have to go anywhere. Early lean is Seattle +3.5. Actually, forget that. I already put it on my tracker. I do have a lighter play, but it's a light play on Seattle at the 3.5. I got -106 at bookmaker on that, and that already moved up a little bit. So I'll be taking Seattle a light play here in this one, but I see value in the home dog at the division rivalry. Let's go to Patrick Gates to start us off here for Thursday Night Football. What do you got on this one, Patrick? Big game in the NFC West.
Yeah, I mean, this is another interesting matchup, right? 49ers kind of haven't been the team that we expected them this year. Obviously, the loss of McCaffrey has impacted them, I think, more than we thought it would. You know, with Shanahan, kind of this plug-and-play offense, you figured Jordan Mason kind of looked good in the early weeks. He would just kind of continue to roll. But, yeah, this team's got some issues, right? 2-3 right now. Seattle hasn't looked fantastic either. So for me, it's a complete stay-away spot. I don't really trust either of these teams. I was high on Seattle early. Now I just don't trust them. And you look at the line, what is it, 3.5 right now? So especially on Thursday night, short week, I'm staying away from this one.
Yeah, Seattle really impressed me weeks 1-4. Even their loss at Detroit, they were hanging in that game, you know, answering almost every time. You know, one or two more things change in that game. Or maybe if Jared Goff doesn't play a perfect game, maybe that's a different outcome too. But last week, I don't know what was going on there in Seattle. They just like didn't show up for half of that game. It was very strange. Jake Cirkus, Seattle hosting the 49ers. What do you got on this one?
Yeah, me and you, Chris, we're going to go head-to-head here. So hopefully a better result for me because I'm 0-1 head-to-head against you after last week. I'm still monitoring some Seattle injuries just like last week. You know, I would have played the Giants, but the neighbor's injury completely took me off of it. The defense has been really, really bad for Seattle with these injuries up front. Now, Reek Woolen left the game on Sunday. So, not an ideal spot on a short week with all these injuries, you know, happening at all 3 levels of the defense. The Giants were all over Geno and that horrible Seattle offensive line. I don't trust Geno in this spot. He's been bad against the Niners recently or in his entire Seattle career. This is a great 49er spot for me. This Seahawks defense allowed a perfect game to Jared Goff. Now they're playing 3 games in 10 days. The Seahawks defense is getting beat by a wide receiver group of Darius Slayton, Wandale Robinson, and Theo Johnson. So this is a 49ers bounce back for me. I think that both teams will be pissed off for sure, but I'm getting the better team at a key number with no hook. I think Niners win comfortably with margin here.
That is the nice part and kind of the confusing part about this bet. You can get 3, you can get 3.5. Do you have any thoughts on the total in this game, Jake? Because you mentioned all the injuries to Seattle's defense. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, San Francisco's defense is 22nd in third down conversion rate allowed. They're in the bottom 3 of the league in yards per pass and yards per carry allowed. And the total is kind of showing that, right? 47.5 is a pretty high total for this divisional matchup. Do you lean over? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I would lean under. It's just a matter of, I don't see any value because it's just a matter of what Geno you're going to get. If you get the Detroit Geno, then this will soar over because I think the Niners have a great path to points here. Like I said, the injuries on defense don't look like they're getting any better. They might get Mafe back, but Woolen's hurt. Williams has looked 100%. Wosu got hurt again. So it's not getting much better for that defense from an injury perspective. But I mean, I could see Seattle also scoring 1 touchdown in this game, just a matter of what type of Niners they get. So I'd stay away from that high total, looking like I could get pointsy just based on where it's set on a short week divisional game. But I like the Niners more for sure.
Yeah, and that total is sitting right there at 47.5 too. 47 is a key number in totals. and it has moved down a notch. So I lean to the over, but nothing strong for me on that one either. All right, Ryan Reynolds, finish us off here, Seattle and San Francisco.
So I'm not a believer in Seattle. I'm not a big believer in Geno Smith. I have this thing called the Dak took David Derek Carr spectrum, which is basically the good but not great quarterbacks. I put Geno Smith in the middle of that group. So don't have a ton of confidence in him. I also thought that if Malik Nabers played last week, I thought the Giants were very live. But, you know, without him, I was not expecting them to have as much stable play on offense. One of the reasons for that is Seattle's pass rush is just, you know, a below average group. So I think that's a factor here. On the 49ers side, two things. One, against New England last week, the 49ers offense sneakily didn't close out the Patriots. They let them hang around for a while. They did the same thing against Arizona. And on the other side of things, the 49ers, you know, they've had one of the best rosters in the league for 5+ years now. Their pass rush has been one of the, you know, major driving points for their success. I'd say their pass rush is the worst right now that it's been in years. So that's probably the thing that will keep me completely away from this game, because otherwise I would lean San Francisco as well. But that factor, and plus it being on a short week on the road, I'm going to stay away from it because of that.
Yeah, they're still without Dre Greenlaw too, and of course lost some pieces on the defensive line. We're absolutely seeing that. You know, maybe the Eric Armstead missing piece there too, having a big effect in some of these games, especially in the interior of that defensive line. Seeing teams kind of run over them a little bit too in key spots. So very interesting what's going on with San Francisco. I'm sure they'll find their footing. I love what you said there, Ryan, about the you know, the mediocre average quarterback meter. I think that used to be like the Andy Dalton meter, right? Like just right in the center. Like which side are you on? Are you pro or are you over or under Andy Dalton? Let's go to Bengals. So we're going to go to Sunday night and concentrate on all the primetime games here. And this is my New York Giants, who, God help me, Ryan Reynolds, because you're also a Giants fan. I'm starting to feel a little better than I thought about this team, which is scary. But Cincinnati is coming to New York to visit the Giants on Sunday night football. The Giants are coming off another game with 7 sacks. They lead the NFL with 22 sacks through 5 weeks, which I believe is something that you mentioned many moons ago, Ryan, about their defensive line and their capability this season. Finally seeing it come alive a little bit. And yeah, I like what I see from multiple aspects of this Giants team. I like their draft is turning out to be pretty damn good. I like Drew Phillips, rookie cornerback stepping up. Tyrone Tracy is a guy who I have my eyes on because he's just explosive. We saw that in a few plays without Singletary in there. And of course, we should get Malik Nabers back this week, which is a big difference maker for the wide receiver group. We already know, I think the whole world knows what that kid can do at this point. So Daboll just seems like he's kind of locked in. Daniel Jones not making as many mistakes. Ryan, talk me off of taking the Giants +3.5, because before the season, right, if I'm looking at this game, I'm like Bengals -7, Bengals yeah. -6, or you know, something yeah. like that.
Yep.
Now this is down to 3.5. Is there value here on the Bengals, or are you looking at the Giants in this one?
I mean, I think Cincinnati is completely one-dimensional now. You know, Joe Burrow, like you and I are Joe Burrow guys. We love Joe Burrow. He showed exactly who he is last week. That's scary for anyone. You know, they also have probably the best wide receiver duo in the league, them or the Dolphins. But that's it. You know, they can't really run the ball. They don't have a very effective ground game. And defensively, Lou Amarillo has been getting as much as anyone could have out of this group for years, but they've been talent poor. They've been bleeding talent. They have some injuries. So that's literally a bottom five defense right now. And what's most encouraging for the Giants is when Daniel Jones is clean, he's a pretty good quarterback. And outside of Hendrickson, the Bengals don't really have a very impactful pass rush. So the Giants have a shot to actually put some points on the Bengals this week. I think they're live to outright win. My big concern is this: the Giants are not a veteran established team, and they treated the Seattle win like they won the Super Bowl last week. I do not like betting on teams like this coming off emotional wins. So it will be the Giants with the hook, or I'll stay away from this.
Yeah, a lot to react to what you just said. Their total is very high and kind of speaks to what you said about the Cincinnati defense, obviously, but also the Giants' ability to finally score, right? And I think their offensive line is a big part of that too. They're performing way better this year overall, especially run blocking through the first few weeks. And they're pretty good last week too, right? I think they got over 200 yards total on the ground. So good to see that from New York, but I'm not one to fade Joe Burrow either. I would still probably lean Cincinnati, just looking for that bounce back spot after a really frustrating loss there. against Baltimore, where they conceivably almost had the game won, right? They're up 10 points, and Burrow throws that another uncharacteristic interception. We've seen that a few times from him in an otherwise almost perfect game. Jake Cirkus, Cincinnati Bengals are your team, are your favorite team, not the Carolina Panthers, although some might think that. So Bengals and Giants, Jake, what do you got here?
This is just a number play. Looking like it's coming down to three. Like I completely agree with the movement from 3.5 to 3. I would take Bengals at 3 just because of the offense, and they, like, we know that they can just blow anybody out, especially, you know, an inferior team based on their potential. But what would keep me off this number is I don't know how they're going to get stops in this game. They have not played a receiver as good as Malik Nabers yet this year. And they still haven't been able to stop anybody. They can't stop the run. This Giants team just went berserk without Singletary against a Seahawks front that's depleted, but still way better than what the Bengals have. Still some injuries to monitor. If Sheldon Rankins comes back here, you might get a better effort with the full strength front seven for Cincinnati. But again, you know, now the back seven's hurt. Dax Hill, Mike Hilton, they're on the shelf right now. So there's not really anything to like with this Bengals team in terms of defensively. There's been a trend the last few weeks where the totals in the Bengals games have skyrocketed up in the middle of the week, and then they get bought back down towards Friday and Saturday. So if you like the over, there's still some 48.5s out there. They're juiced, but there's some out there you can take if you like the over, because then it'll, you know, close 49.50 or be at 50, and then it'll get bought back down. That's been the trend recently. So I certainly can see a path for the over here.
Yeah, as a Giants fan, I just got a lot of ghosts like haunting me, and like Sunday Night Football at the Meadowlands. Points, like we're going to see points in this game. Maybe it's possible, but I probably won't find myself on the total, but I also lean over. All right, Patrick Gates, Bengals and Giants on Sunday night.
Yeah, I'll go contrarian here. I like the Bengals in this spot. If you kind of look at it and write the Bengals somehow pull out that win last week and the Giants lose last week, this spread feels like it's going to be closer to 4.5, 5, maybe even 5.5 number. You're getting it now at 3, 3.5. It seems like a great spot for them. Like you said, the Giants, I just don't trust this offense by any means. Like, despite how bad Cincinnati's defense has been this year, I still think they'll be able to kind of hold the Giants offensive front at least like maybe 17, 14 points in this spot too. And I think the Bengals can outscore them from there, putting up 21, 24. So I like the Bengals in this spot. This is arguably one of my best bets of the week.
Yeah. You know, 1-4 is really tough, right? But I feel like 1-5, your season's over, right?
Season's over.
It's the fourth straight spot they've had where it's a must win, and they continue to find ways to lose. Like, if you, I hate the phrase finding ways to win, but like, I believe if you continuously find ways to lose, you might just be a bad team.
That's
spot after spot, must win. No way they start 1-5, right? I don't know. It's a mess right now.
And we got some very timely feedback from you. I remember seeing that on Twitter, Jake. You were talking about Zach Taylor, right? And just kind of has to be called out here a little bit, right? I mean, it's not his fault that Joe Burrow threw that interception, but some of the in-game management isn't great. You know, team obviously not nearly showing up on defense. I can't be all Lou Anarumo. He's done a great job with that defense for the most part. So maybe we're starting to look at the coaching in this game as well, or at least on the Cincinnati Bengals side, maybe a coaching advantage for the New York Giants too. I just must say, though, the Bengals, if they get through this game, I mean, I know we've been saying must win games, but the Commanders are clearly way better with Jaden Daniels. And then they had the Ravens, you know, 2 weeks after that. If they get a win, finally, they got Giants, Browns, Eagles. That's tough, but they're at home, and then Raiders. So we could be easily still looking at 5-4 for your Bengals, Jake. We shall see. Let's go on to the Monday Night Football game, because first of all, it's Monday Night Football. It's a marquee matchup. It's the Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets, which is a rematch from last year's Week 1 game that somehow the Jets still won, even though Aaron Rodgers got injured. I do not forget even a second of that game. That was a crazy game. But it's also coming off of a firing of the Jets head coach. Robert Saleh is out of there in New York. I'm not going to even say anything. You know what? I'm just going to pass this over to Ryan Reynolds first. Ryan, what are your thoughts on the firing of Robert Saleh and how that could affect the Jets moving forward here?
I mean, the Jets are the Jets. And, you know, going into the year, like, They have enough. They have like a top five roster in the best case scenario. And we knew that this coaching staff was suspect at best. Nathaniel Hackett is not exactly someone that ensues confidence. And, you know, the moment a couple weeks ago where Aaron Rodgers kind of pushed Robert Saleh, like if Bill Belichick was the coach of the Jets, that would have never fucking happened. So that was blown out of proportion a little bit, but like there's a little bit of, you know, lack of respect there. So that said, coming off the London game, playing the Bills, you don't have a bye off London. You're playing the Bills in prime time. It seems like a very odd time to fire your head coach. Seems like actually kind of the worst week of the season to do that. But on the other hand, they're trying to change the energy in the room. And the real reason for this, guys, is, you know, they don't want the narrative to be that incompetent Jets ownership management is just letting this, you know, things spiral down. So that in a primetime game. So I think that's the motivator. Football wise, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't washed. Like he's, you know, he's our age, Chris. Like he's old. He's not MVP Aaron Rodgers, but he's still fine. He had a bad game against, you know, Brian Flores' Vikings defense, which has basically been the best defense in the league. So not too concerned there. But, you know, as we saw last year, the Jets have the raw materials to beat Buffalo with Zach Wilson. And I would love to take the Jets in the spot, but I can't because they're just such an unreliable football operation. But from a pure talent standpoint, they have a better roster than Buffalo.
Yeah, first of all, no one times an F-bomb quite like Ryan Reynolds. So I appreciate that, Ryan. Secondly, yeah, I love what you said about that hug, right? It's kind of like Dak Prescott with his players, right? Like you got CeeDee Lamb yelling at you and you're not doing anything, Dak. You're not talking back. So this is just a little bit of a cultural weird thing. That's just not a good sign. I don't know what to expect here from the Jets, and I'm probably not going to have a bet on this game because of that firing, because I agree. This is interesting timing. I mean, the Bills are off two losses. So, you know, they're going to be pissed off, and they are also seeking revenge after what happened last season in the same situation. But I have to mention, you know, I've defended Aaron Rodgers mostly about, like, non-football stuff, you know, because I couldn't stand the way the media was kind of pushing him around. But as far as a football guy and his effect on a team, we've seen this before, though, right? There's inevitable drama, probably has too much say over things, and you have to figure that he was probably part of this or at least had a say in it. So it's feeling like it's Aaron Rodgers' team more than anyone's right now, which I don't know if that's great. You need a head coach, especially with this much talent on a team that wants to win right now. Patrick Gates, Jets and Bills. This is also featuring your Bills, Patrick. And they are mystifying right now. I mean, that was probably the worst game from Josh Allen I've seen since he was a rookie. Really strange. Couldn't figure out that Houston defense. Still had a shot to win, right to their credit. But coming off two pretty poor performances, what do you got for the Bills here on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, I mean, at what point is Sean McDermott now on the hot seat, right? Like, his clock management continually, he doesn't learn. And it's now been a theme across these past, what, four or five seasons that he's been the head coach of the Bills. And every time he comes out and says, you know what, my fault. But again, he chose the same mistakes every time. He's supposed to be this defensive guru, given our defense has been depleted, right, the past two seasons, especially in the postseason last year. But again, it's getting to a point where I think everyone in Buffalo, too, is kind of looking at him being like, is he actually the guy that can kind of get us over that hump and maybe take us to an AFC conference game or whatever. But I mean, regardless, this is a super weird spot for both teams. Like, who knows what's up with Josh Allen? He hurt his non-throwing hand before. It looked like he suffered a concussion last week, if not one, maybe two. And yet nothing on the injury report about that. This wide receiver core is also depleted too, right? We saw how much that impacted him last week. So in this one, this is a complete stay away spot. Both these teams are kind of mystifying at the moment. So no play in this one.
Yeah, Bills defense too, really letting down the last 2 weeks, right? Over 400 yards to the Ravens, over 400 yards to the Texans. Really tough spots, but they looked good the first few weeks. They weren't playing teams quite at that caliber. But there's definitely some concern there. Are the Jets in that offense and Nathaniel Hackett the kind of offense that can take advantage of it, though, right? There's a lot of questions in this game. More questions than answers for me. Jake Cirkus, finish us off here on Monday Night Football.
This game is an awesome mess. These are the games that should be on Monday Night Football, right? I think what happened on Sunday with the Bills with Josh Allen was the most obvious botch of concussion protocol I've ever seen. I don't know how he is not on the injury report. I'm anxious to see what it looks like today and tomorrow. On the Jets side, like, I'm never fearful of backing a team with an interim head coach. I mean, I had three units on Jeff Saturday catching six in his first game, so I don't care about that. If this gets to three because of some public perception on fading the Jets now, I'll for sure buy the Jets in this spot. I think, like, I would be all over the Jets. I was probably going to place it this morning before this show, then I saw the Saleh news, but I haven't seen any threes just yet, but, you know, we'll wait. The Jets can't run the ball. The Bills' defense is still not the same without these, without Teron Johnson, without Terrell Bernard. Like I said last week, the Texans found a lot of success over the middle of the field, over up top. Right now, it's stay away. At three, I'll be on the Jets. Something's up with Allen, man. I mean, like, I get he had the bad game, but the last 2 weeks, I don't know if it's Shakir, but something hasn't felt right with them. You know, they're talking about all offseason how they want everyone to get the ball, but that's easy when you're ahead. But when you're playing from behind and you don't have a one on the outside, it's fearful, especially when Shakir's not even out there, who's supposed to be your best guy, even though he's not really a one. So I don't know. I'm not really in on this Bills team laying points on the road right now.
Yeah, it's one of my bigger observations. When they're playing from behind, I don't think this offense is built to come back. Or at least it involves way too many Josh Allen heroics as usual, right? And even more so this season, which is part of the reason why I was kind of down on the Bills entering the season. So the last 2 weeks is kind of what I thought would happen, but yep. I love the Bill. I love Bills Nation there. Patrick, what's it called? What's the old adage there?
Bills Mafia.
Bills Mafia. Yeah. Hopefully they get back to at least being more competitive. I mean, that was pretty disappointing against the Ravens in last week. All right, hopefully we can keep Patrick here for a few more minutes to talk about one more game. Jacksonville Jaguars and Chicago Bears. They're up in London. This is London part two. The Bears are 2.5-point favorites. Opened up at actually 1.5-point favorites. Now that's up another point. I'm not sure if I agree with that movement, especially when you have a Jaguars squad who this is their home away from home, right? They're used to going over there every single year. And they've been going over there more than any other team. And they're coming off a win finally, right? They, you know, you were calling that out last week, Jake. I mean, there's a lot of plays that they damn near came close to the completing in these previous games that could have changed the game. Well, they got it last week, right? Those big explosive plays down the field finally went their way. They finally got a win. Chicago's quietly winning, but that's kind of what they do at home. I'm not sure if I trust this Bears team just yet. Go right back to you. Oh, actually, let's go to Patrick first because you're about to leave us, Patrick. Jaguars and Bears in London.
Yeah, Jacksonville finally got off the schneid last week, but again, they have the league worst pass defense, and they go up against Caleb Williams, who finally feels like he's starting to kind of click in this Bears offense. At 2.5, I'll probably just lay the number with the Bears in this spot, but that's all I got.
Sticking with fading the Jags. Okay, well, I'll say this. The Bears defense, this is a great spot for them to finally step up a little bit more too, and hopefully expose some more Trevor Lawrence errors, although he finally looked pretty good last week. Patrick Gates, Jaguars and Bears, what do you see here?
Oh, I just gave out my pick for Bears.
I'm sorry, I said Patrick
Bears
Gates.
Minus, and
I
meant no Jake worries, yeah. I think
yeah,
Jake's
I meant Jake Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, go ahead. It's hard being the host. Go ahead.
There's a few things I'm kind of leaning towards in this game. Right now, I lean Jags, but I really like this under. The Jags had plays of 85, 65, and 61 in the game versus the Colts. Other than that, not a whole lot of chunk plays. It was 7-8, and then obviously they take some sacks. But it was merely a perfect game from Trevor, and that's what I've been waiting to see. You know, I mentioned on the show I love the Jags. I like their team total. It was a great spot for the offense, who was really close a few times in their previous games, hitting some deep plays, and they get those deep plays. But now you get what I think might be the best secondary pass defense when you mix in pass rush as well in the league. I think this is a really, really good unit. Can the Jags scheme up enough protection to get anything downfield? That's the key here. And then on the Bears side, that offensive line is still leaves a lot to be desired. You know, they took advantage of Carolina's awful pass rush. It's the opposite for the Jags. Trayvon Walker is coming off of his best game against a really elite offensive line. Bullied Braden Smith that whole game. So I like this under traveling across the pond. I also lean Jags, but under 44.5, that key number, I like it.
Yeah, I might be with you there, Jake. I like that look. I could see this being a very slow-moving game. Caleb Williams, too, right, against a Jacksonville defense that kind of came alive a little bit last week in key spots as well. I guess I can't say that. When you're letting Joe Flacco just run all over you, especially in the fourth quarter, that was insane. At least early in the game, they showed a few things. But, you know, the one thing I don't like about the under, just to play contrarian here, is usually you get that crappy London weather, and it looks like it's going to be perfect football weather right now. Maybe that changes, and it always can change in London. It's a very rainy town. But if that's a sloppy mud fest, then I really like the under in this one. Ryan Reynolds, Bears and Jaguars.
You know, I don't like the traveling to Europe factor in general. It's an unwanted variable for me. And like you said, Chris, this is a home away from home for the Jaguars, where they're going to play in London next week too, which that's going to be an advantage for them. But I'm with Jake on this. I like the under for two core reasons. One is I'm with you. I think the Bears have the best pass defense. I think the Bears have a top five defense in general. I do not think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a lot of success through the air. Don't have a ton of confidence in the Jaguars coaching staff either. And on the other side of things, Bears offensive line played well against a weak Panthers front last week, but the Jaguars, Trayvon Walker, Josh Allen Hines, I think it is now. I know he put a hyphen in his name. I'm not 100% sure what he went with. And as you mentioned before, Eric Armstead is in Jacksonville. So that's a pretty talented front that could give Chicago some trouble. If this was in Chicago, I'd like the Bears. But since it's in London, it's the under for me. And slight lean towards the Jaguars, which I don't like because I'm kind of a Bears enthusiast.
But are you a Caleb Williams enthusiast, right? There's some he showed some things last week.
Yeah.
I
am a Caleb Williams enthusiast. I am. I've been, you know, I bet on quarterbacks through the card market for years. He's one of my favorites ever. Just he's an out of structure wizard. But you know, we'll see what happens. Not thrilled about the coaching staff in Chicago offensively.
Yeah, and the offensive line, not thrilled about that over there either in Chicago, which they might face some challenges this week. Okay, let's move on to Tampa Bay and New Orleans, and we've seen significant line movement here for several reasons. Saints initially were the favorite in this one. Now they are +2.5 at home. Of course, Derek Carr had to go get an MRI on that left oblique. So he's going to get some news back about that, and we'll see if he suits up there on Sunday. I already liked the Bucs in this one, you know, was leaning that direction because they're in New Orleans already because of the hurricane situation there. And there is no town that's going to get hit harder than Tampa Bay, you know, right there on that western panhandle of Florida as Hurricane Milton comes in. So, you know, as much as I don't want to handicap based on emotion and things that are going on like that are serious in the world like that, typically a team comes out and plays on fire for their hometown when something like that happens, right? And that this is a team that fights anyway. So I just thought that Tampa Bay made a fantastic teaser leg at +2.5, but now that's completely switched. So now you would have to take Tampa as the favorite if you're looking at them today. Ryan Reynolds, go right back to you, Tampa and the Saints.
Yeah, I would have leaned Tampa even with Derek Carr. I'm just not a believer in the Saints. I wasn't entering the year. Their first 2 weeks on offense just blew me away. I think that's gone away already though. Not a huge believer in Tampa either, but I think they have a better roster. They have a better quarterback, especially if Carr misses. And I'll even say, you know, the coaching, Todd Bowles, I'd rather have Todd Bowles than Dennis Allen. I do think Clint Kubiak's a good offensive coordinator. So small lean to Tampa, probably not going to bet it since we're getting a bad line now.
Yeah, the Saints are becoming that same team from last year again. They're beating up on bad teams, right? They beat up on the Cowboys too, which I don't think the Cowboys are quite as good this year. But they faced three better programs in a row and three losses in a row now. So Saints kind of coming back down to earth. Jake Cirkus, the Saints and Bucks in New Orleans. What do you got here?
Yeah, I don't think either of these teams are any good. I've faded these teams pretty much all year. I would have leaned Tampa as dog here. I think the line moved 4 points for Carr. That's a lot. So I don't think that I think this line should be 1.5, but I don't have any interest in taking the Saints right now with the information we have right now. So yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement. The value's gone. This is a game that I don't even want to watch. But yeah, I got nothing.
Seems like all this theme is on the Bucs side for now, at least. Okay. Let's move on to the Cardinals and the Packers. Cardinals coming off that comeback win against the 49ers. Packers get a win in LA with a great second half there from Jordan Love. and the Packers defense really too, holding off Matthew Stafford in some key moments. The Packers are at home. They're 5.5-point favorites. This one's really tough for me, boys, because I like what I'm seeing from Arizona in a lot of ways, right? Kyler Murray now 2 years off of that injury. I mean, that kid, you know, we saw this when he first came into the league, right? As small as he is, just game-breaking speed, and he just seems to be back to normal. And, you know, that's a team who you just don't want to count out, right? It's kind of like Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. That's what he can do at quarterback for the Cardinals. But they've been so up and down. Green Bay now back in the win column, and they're back at home, which is always a really tough place to play. And it's at that dead number of 5 or 5.5. So right back to you here on this one, Jay. You got any clarity on this one for us, Packers and Cardinals?
Yeah, I really don't like handicapping totals because I think there's more so higher variance. But I don't know if the market's fully adjusted to this Packers defense that's faced, you know, multiple good expected good passing offenses or just offenses in general. And, you know, they've given up tons of points. I think this gets a little bit pointsy. Do the Packers pass rushers plan on participating this season? Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, and I'm forgetting the third one. Preston Smith. Out of 89 pass rushers with 100 or more snaps, those three guys are 60, 63rd, and 71st in pass rush win rate. The Cardinals' offensive line isn't really any good, but if those guys don't plan on participating this season, there's no reason the Cardinals can't hang 24, 27 in this game. And same thing for the Packers. This Cardinals' offense has been good. The defense is really not in either facet. So I expect some fun looks for LaFleur, just like what they did against Indianapolis, that poor defense with Malik Willis. I think we get a good Jordan Love game here, maybe his breakout best game of the season. Now 3 weeks since coming back, so an extra week of practice, getting more much-needed reps. This Packers offense gets a lot of explosive plays, down-to-down, not so much, or not really that good down-to-down-wise, but I expect some explosives for both sides here. So I lean over.
Like we said about the total there, it's a 49.5 or 50, depending on the book. But you can definitely see that. I mean, Kyler Murray and that offense, they're doing a good job of keeping him on the run, too, to minimize the pressure that he has in front of him. And, man, these Packers, I mean, the Packers defense has beaten up on poor opponents, right? That's all they've done against better offenses. They're getting ran over. Ryan Reynolds, Packers and Cardinals in Green Bay. What do you got?
I'm with Jake. I think Green Bay lights up Arizona a little bit. They're coming off a very sleepy game against the bad Rams defense last week. I don't think that happens 2 weeks in a row. My concern here with the spread is I think Green Bay is going to be in control for most of this game. I think they have a radically better roster than Arizona. But Kyler Murray is, you know, if you're laying a big number and Kyler Murray has the ball late where you can backdoor cover on you, that's a pretty scary situation. So I also lean over, going to stay away from the line, though.
Yeah, I hate that dead number of 5 or 5.5, too. It's like, yeah, basically odds makers and sharps saying they don't know which way to go. So probably a stay away for me, but I like the thoughts on the over in that one. Might join you there, Jake, with some points. Or maybe a Packers team total, Ryan, to your point. Might be a good look in that one. Okay, let's move on to possibly the stinker of the week, the Indianapolis Colts visiting the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee is +1 or -1, depending on the book. I'm sure there's you know, it makes sense why the books can't make up their mind here and why bettors can't make up their mind, because two pretty poor teams. Titans, at least, are coming off of a bye, so they've had some time to prepare for this, and they will be at home. Don't know if they're going to be incurring any weather challenges from Hurricane Milton. Probably at that time it'll be out of the way, and I don't think we know if we're going to get Anthony Richardson just yet. If you guys have any breaking news on that one, you let me know. But Joe Flacco is doing just fine there at the helm for the Colts, looking like a top 10 quarterback, at least the last few weeks that he's joined his team. Colts and Titans in this toilet bowl here. Jake Circus, what do you think?
Yeah, we don't know who's playing quarterback for either team here. Will Levis off the bye is expected to be back at practice this week. I think Richardson is going to try to give it a go. I feel so bad for the Colts, man, because, you know, they have a really good offensive line, and the offense has looked really, really good at times, but that defense was so thin heading into the year. Juju Brent goes down. Now Kenny Moore is going to miss, I think, his third consecutive game, it looks like. We'll see if he's back for this one. And they just have nothing in the secondary. The pass rush has been super underwhelming. Buckner's been hurt. They lose Ebukam before the year. I feel bad for them because I think they're a well-coached team and they have some talent, but the injuries that happened could not have happened at a worse position for the Colts. In terms of the line here, I think the Titans probably have the edge at home, but I need to wait to see who's playing quarterback because I don't know if I can do Will Levis a fourth time this year. So if it's Rudolph, I might take Tennessee, but I don't know if I can do Levis again. I think I might be retired from that.
Yeah, how many weeks in a row did we take the Titans? Did you take
3 weeks in a row, the first 3 weeks of the season. And they should have won two of those games outright, by the way. So they weren't bad bets. It's just mental health just goes down the hill when you have to sweat that out.
Yes, yes. When the ball's in Will Levis's hand, basically. The Titans and the Browns have been the demise of many of my weeks. Ryan Reynolds, Titans and Colts. What do you got?
Yeah, I lean Titans myself. I'm not too concerned about the quarterback situation because it's kind of horrifying in either realm. But that said, Will Levis does have at least one meltdown, like rip the remnants of my hair out turnover every game that you have to survive if you're going to bet on him at all. But like Jake said, the Colts defense is just – Gus Bradley has gotten so many jobs for his affiliation with the Legion of Bloom over a decade ago, so he's not helping matters either. They've been ravaged by injuries, and they weren't that great of a group to begin with. So I think the Titans have a far better roster defensively. And they're coming off a bye, too. To that point that you made earlier, though, Chris, the weather component, I haven't looked at that yet. I actually, you know, didn't even consider that that could be an issue for Tennessee. So that I'll look at before I actually bet on anything. But it'll be Titans or pass for me.
Yeah, if the weather is okay, too, this might be another overlook for me. I mean, 43.5 is awfully low, and the Colts are starting to qualify as an over team, right? 71 points last week in that game against the Jaguars, against the Jaguars offense that wasn't doing very much beforehand. And, you know, the thing about Flacco behind, you know, I know he's our age, Ryan, right? So he's not in his prime anymore exactly, but probably playing behind one of the best, the top three offensive line in the NFL. So he's got some time back there, and their defense has given up a lot. Might be a week to look at Tony Pollard too, to come back off the bye and get some yards there against the Indy run defense. But probably the over, the only thing I'm going to be looking at here if the weather agrees. Okay, let's move on to another team that's been very devastating to bet on. Some reason I bet on the Cleveland Browns again last week. And that was one of the bigger regrets so far this season for sure, because I thought that was the spot. Well, now Cleveland is not getting any respect anymore. Went from 6.5 up to 9 at most books in favor of the Philadelphia Eagles at home, hosting the Browns, and the Eagles are off a bye as well. So right back to you, Ryan, in this one. Eagles taking on the role as a big favorite here. Like, I don't know if I can trust the Eagles from what I've seen from them this year with that high of a spread, but if you or anyone thinks I'm betting on the Browns, I ain't doing it. So what do you got in this one, Ryan?
Yeah, I don't think the Eagles should be 9-point favorites against anyone, but I also get it because Cleveland's offense is just non-functional. Jalen Carter could potentially have a field day in this game. And plus you have the Eagles coming off a bye. They should be getting healthy at wide receiver. Ideally, if that's the case, that, you know, they have the tools to hurt you in a variety of ways. And Cleveland's defense, while they've been on the field all game, so that's kind of a factor here, they are not the elite unit they were last year. So definitely going to stay away from, you know, I'm not laying 9 points with the Eagles, but I'm definitely not betting on Cleveland again for the foreseeable future, primarily because of their offense. And, you know, that's also what they're going to do at quarterback. It seems like that's probably being forced by ownership sticking with Watson. So that's just the situation. I'm going to avoid it entirely just because 9 points is too many for this Eagles team.
Yeah, I think the Eagles probably qualify as a very good survivor entry this week. You know, the only thing that would scare me off of that is if Jameis Winston came in and maybe lit it up for the Browns and gave them a chance in this one. But hearing Kevin Stefanski say he's going to stick with Deshaun Watson, two-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski, I'm like, what are we doing here in this situation? So it's getting pretty ugly there for the Cleveland Browns as a franchise who once looked to have a lot of promise a few seasons ago with a very talented roster. So it's sad to see, but I don't know. Maybe I know a lot of people out there are saying this. Maybe that's what you get for signing Deshaun Watson. Yeah, I mean, maybe that's true. Jake Cirkus, Browns at Eagles in week 6.
I'm not doing it. No way. I want to. I really want to, but I'm not. I don't like this Eagles team, but you know, the parts that were supposed to make Cleveland stable this year and make him a bettable team, like a team that you can take in good spots and maybe even compete for the playoffs, was the offensive line and it was the defense. And when Chubb comes back, I think it will be parts of the running game. I think they'll have at least a pulse in that aspect. When Nick Chubb comes back, he can just break tackles if he's healthy. But it was the offensive line and it was the defense. This offensive line can't block anybody. And it doesn't help because Watson, his pocket presence is complete. It's the worst in the league. It's like Brissett and Watson. I mean, watching that, it was like every time there's pressure, he just steps up and just walks into it's awful. He's taken more unnecessary sacks than anyone in the league this year, and that's in addition to the offensive line not being able to block anybody. So, it's an unbettable team. Even though it's super tempting because this is a massive number, I told myself I'm only doing it if it gets to 10, and I don't think it's going to get there. So I can sleep well the rest of the week knowing I don't have to do that again.
Yeah, never say never in NFL betting. I know I tweeted I'm done betting on the Browns, but you know obviously that's a short lived thing to say. If you get max value on a team, maybe you still take it.
It's all numbers. We handicap 17, 18 weeks a year. You can't be like, oh, I can't, I'm not going to bet on this team.
Right.
it's all numbers. You can, like, I don't, 8.5, what's the point? Like, but 10 is a different story.
That's right. Okay, let's move on. I got nothing else to say about that game either. So the Houston Texans at the New England Patriots. Boys, we're doing great. 6 more games left on the slate. We might have Ryan here for most of this slate. I love that. Houston Texans at the Patriots. Houston is getting 7. Well, not getting. They are the chalk of 7 points on the road. Oh, boy. This is another tough one because if there's any game where maybe the Patriots are going to show a little bit better of a performance, you know, they're finally going back home and blah, blah, blah. But and now, right, we look at the market, right? The Houston Texans are back to being very respected by the market, right? They're 7-point favorites on the road. I don't care who you're facing. That's a very commanding line, a very commanding spread. I still want to take Houston as much as, you know, that's an inflationary spread here, but I don't think I can get around to it just because maybe it's just a perceptual thing for me, but New England still has that air to it where, you know, you go to New England, maybe their defense steps up and it's just a messy game up there. And again, we got to think about Hurricane Milton this week and what it's doing. It could go up the East Coast. We could see some effects and some sloppy games this weekend. So keep an eye on that from a weather perspective. Jake Circus, if you got anything on this one, Texans and Patriots.
Yeah, I would lean Patriots. I don't know. This slate kind of sucks. So I like this. If they get 7.5, I'd probably do it. But New England has London on deck next week. What's the motivation right now with Brissett as your quarterback? You got to go to London next week. You know, that line's already out. It looks like it's going to be Jags by a touchdown, which is crazy because they don't have to travel. I don't know. I have done pretty well fading Houston this season. Was able to back them last week. I think I'm 4-0 ATS in Houston games this year. I don't want to ruin that streak. I think this line is correct, so I will not be playing anything in this game.
Yeah, you're bouncing back and forth in the Texans very well this season. So were you 4-0 ATS in their games?
Yeah, we faded them. They were 0-4 ATS to start. I think I faded them 3 times correctly, and then we were on here last week, and I said I think it's a better spot for Houston, and it was. They had a big lead, and they almost shot themselves in the foot and blew it.
All right, well, pay attention to what Jake Circus says about the Houston Texans before you make your wagers every week. Ryan Reynolds, what do you got on this one, Patriots and Texans?
I also bet on the Texans last week. I'm taking them or passing here because Houston actually has a pretty good defense, pretty good pass rush, and New England's offensive line has just been abysmal. So that is a component to me that interests me. My one concern here is when Nico Collins went out last week, Houston's offense just ceased. So he's a major factor. He was, you know, leading, you know, the receiver position in just about every category heading into last week. So that concerns me a little bit. But the other factor, too, is like, say they start Jacoby Brissett this week and they put in Drake May in the second half. Like, maybe that provides a little bit of a spark. But, you know, again, I'm going to take Houston or pass. I think Houston's viable in Survivor, too. New England, they just have a vastly superior roster to New England.
Yeah, vastly superior. I like what you said about Nico Collins, too. Maybe at this point, one of the most underrated wide receivers in the league just consistently gets separation, especially on those long throws and a game changer, right, for the Houston Texans offense. We're seeing that every week, too. Okay, let's go to a very interesting game. The Washington Commanders This line opened as the Commanders being 7-point dogs visiting Baltimore. Baltimore off of another win, a comeback win against the Bengals. It's down to 6.5 now. Like I said, total's very high. Most books were talking 51.5, 52. I don't want to fade Jaden Daniels. I mean, is my first thought. And again, from a roster perspective, significant difference, right? I mean, the Ravens are absolutely loaded in comparison. Look at the Ravens defense, and they're going back home, and they've stepped up and played better, kind of. But then in Cincinnati last week, Joe Burrow threw almost a perfect game against them until that interception. Jaden Daniels just might be one of those quarterbacks, at least in, you know, his first year, kind of a CJ Stroud like rookie campaign where you don't really know what's coming from him game to game. There's not enough film, and he's just going to be able to keep his team in these contests. So I have a strong lean towards Washington right from the outset, or for the onset, 52 to 52.5. I'm sorry, is where the total is now. So even higher than what I last saw not long ago. I want to take the over on that still, but I don't think I can get that high, boys. Let's go back to Ryan Reynolds again. Commanders and Ravens, the Battle of Maryland. What do you got here?
It'll be Washington or pass for me too at +6.5. I actually lean under a little bit. I think the Ravens going to overtime last week and getting let up, like that's a correction spot for their defense. Dan Quinn's defense is overachieved. I'd say one of the more overachieving groups in the league the last 3 weeks. So I think 52 is high. Definitely think it has a shot to get there. Both of these quarterbacks might already be top 10 quarterbacks. So Lamar Jackson obviously already is. Jaden Daniels, at least in the conversation already. But I'll lean under and I'll lean Commanders.
Yeah, I think someone out there said something about Jaden Daniels before the season. Oh, yeah, it was me. And he's stepping up, boys. He looks good. I mean, I'm happy for my fellow DC fans around here because I'm around a lot of DC folk. And I haven't liked a lot of what's happening for their team for a very long time. Dan Snyder's out of there. Now they got Jaden Daniels. There's some exciting things for DC fans. And for those who might not know, the Commanders play in Landover, Maryland. Okay, so this is the Battle of Maryland. You're not putting a stadium next to the White House here. Okay, Jake Circus, what do you got on this one? Washington and Baltimore.
Yeah, I'll pass at 6.5. I completely agree with the very, very early movement down to 6.5 from 7. This is a normally a fade Lamar spot. 13-21 ATS is a home favorite of more than 3. That's not where I'm going here. We're going to see a lot of overlove in this one, not very surprising, but if this thing keeps ticking up, I will play the under. It's still the Ravens. It's still Harbaugh. I think it's getting towards the area where it's going to be a pretty unserious total. Where it stands right now, it's the third highest Ravens total since Lamar's been quarterback in Baltimore. So it does make sense, but it is still historically a very high number for Ravens games. This Ravens pass rush versus the Commanders offensive line is what gives me some confidence in this under. Daniels wasn't really great in the air versus pressure. Cleveland pressured him a few times. He was able to scramble, but the Ravens defense faces Lamar in practice every single day. So if there's any team that would know how to contain the edges and, you know, make tackles against a big, thick guy running very fast at you, it will be this Harbaugh defense. And I think Zach Gore will have some looks for Daniels that he hasn't seen yet with the simulated pressures. So I'm just talking about it makes me love the under even more. So if this thing keeps creeping up, I'll play it.
Yeah, that is my main concern for the Commanders, is that the Baltimore defense sets up as one that could actually figure him out and slow him down a little bit going into week 6. So very interesting game there. I mean, I hope it's a high scoring game between those two quarterbacks. I know you love some defense, Ryan Reynolds. So do I, but this one qualifies as being a highly, highly entertaining one at 1 o'clock. I do have to say too, even if you like Washington at 6.5, you know, you can hedge with money line Baltimore with some other pretty tasty money line opportunities across this week 6 slate. So maybe some, you know, different things you can do here with that game, even though it's a big spread. Maybe you take Washington and you still take Baltimore in a teaser or as a money line parlay leg. All right. Moving on to the 4 o'clock games. Ryan, I know you have to leave us here pretty soon, so we'll ask for your best bets after we go over this one. Chargers at Denver. The Chargers coming off a bye week. Hopefully Justin Herbert is a little healthier. I'm sure he'll play through and battle through with whatever it is, rib injuries or whatever he's going through at this point. Denver keeps on finding ways to win. That's now 3 in a row. Some pretty good things from their defense we've seen. Bo Nix is showing himself to be pretty good at the pulpit and the mic. Just a professional quarterback who's trying to work with Sean Payton. So that's pretty good. 3-point favorites are the Chargers at Denver. Ryan Reynolds, what do you got on this one?
Something that I hate about this week is there's so many road favorites, and my immediate instinct on all of them is I like the road favorite, and that's not how it's going to work. So, you know, again, from a pure football standpoint, the Chargers are coming off a bye. It's Justin Herbert versus rookie quarterback Bo Nix. So I lean Chargers. But, you know, I'll say this. I think the most surprising unit in the whole league this year has been Denver's defense. Denver's been a top five defense essentially this year. They've carried them, you know, for most of the season. But the Chargers, you know, we'll see what their offensive line health is. I know Slater was still a bit questionable the last time I saw. If they're at full strength, I'll lean Chargers. Otherwise, I'm going to completely pass on this.
All right, Jake Cirkus, Chargers and Broncos, another game at Denver.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately, I haven't been able to capitalize on this Broncos love train that I've been on for the last couple of weeks. I just don't know if I've believed it with my eyes because, you know, that there was a game a few weeks ago where I was like, damn, this defense looks really good. And they continued that momentum the last few weeks. And I unfortunately, I haven't been able to capitalize it in terms of the market. But I don't – the Chargers off of a bye with Harbaugh kind of scare me here. But the injuries, got to monitor those for the Chargers, obviously. Herbert, Slater, Alt, Bosa was banged up. So Broncos at 3 is very enticing. I don't know if they get enough points here. The Raiders kind of shot themselves in the foot towards that game with the there were two 100-yard defensive touchdowns in the same window. The Seahawks had one, should have gotten blown out, and then the Broncos had one, and that kind of won them the game against the Raiders. So this defense is really good. I love Riley Moss, and obviously Surtain might be the best corner duo in the second best corner duo in the league behind the Jets, but nothing crazy for me right now, but I could see myself playing the 3, 3.5. It's like that in contest. That's my lean.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the Chargers, maybe just a straight up money line play here because of all the volatility we've seen. For me, might be a better investment there, but nothing strong for me on that one. Okay, we got 3 games left, but I know Ryan, you need to leave us, so there might be a few games we haven't talked about yet. But do you have a best bet for our audience before you go?
You know, to lean right into that, you know, there's all these road favorites, and my immediate instinct is I like them. I do think the Lions are a vastly superior team to Dallas. I do not believe in Dallas. Dallas is very close to being 1-4. On the other side of that, when props come out, I'm going to look at Dak Prescott's over passing yards, expecting a neutral or negative game script where he's essentially going to have to carry the load. So I like Detroit. I'm pretty sure that's of all the games on the slate so far, I'm pretty sure that's the one I'm going to lock in contests.
I love that play on Dak too, right? That Detroit defense not allowing anything on the ground, and Dallas already sucks on the ground. So yeah, that's going to be a big time Dak Prescott game there. Maybe over on his interception prop there too, as he starts to force balls late in that game. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today, my man. We've been pining for you to get on the show. Love it. And we will see you again, hopefully this season.
Yeah. Pleasure, guys.
See you later, my man. At Ryan Reynolds, folks, make sure to check him out and keep on following him. He does a lot of great work at Establish the Run and at Roto Underworld. Of course, he's a buddy of mine from our days at the 33rd team as a Giants fan. Jake, look, it's just the two of us, buddy. We're just going to round this up 3 games. We're finally going to get out of here a little bit early. I like it. All right, let's go to the Pittsburgh Steelers visiting the Las Vegas Raiders. This went up from 2.5 to 3 in support of those Pittsburgh Steelers. Coming off that loss, man, Jake, I had to play on the Steelers too, so that was disappointing to see the way that one ended. I'll just say this. The last 2 seasons, what I remember is the Steelers love facing the Raiders, right? They're low-scoring games. They kind of play dirty. They take advantage of all the inconsistencies there for Vegas. And now we're seeing a Vegas quarterback room where, right, Minshew throws 2 interceptions last week. His backup, Aiden O'Connell, comes in and throws another interception. I think this qualifies as one of those games where a coach like Antonio Pierce could really lose the locker room because the Pittsburgh defense just kind of takes over and plays angry. I'm leaning strongly towards it might be an official play of mine very soon in the Steelers. I wish I got it at 2.5, but I can't take the Raiders in this spot. What do you got here, Jake Cirkus, Steelers and Raiders?
It's Tomlin off of a loss, but I don't know. I think the Steelers team sucks. I said it in the preseason that I think this would be the year where, you know, things just don't go right. Pickens is going to be gone. Like, they're going to trade him in the offseason. He looks checked out. I have no interest in backing this team as a road favorite. Low total means super high variance game. This game, again, might come down to a defensive turnover, pick six, fumble six, punt return, blocked punt return. Something weird with these two teams. I think Pittsburgh's bad, and I can't take them, even though it's a Tomlin spot. I think the Fields train has kind of hit a roadblock here. I would have liked to see more from him against that Dallas defense, and I just didn't. And I don't know if it's Fields. I don't know if it's the offensive line. It's the receivers not getting open. It's the play calling. It's all kind of shitty. But Dallas, who can't run the ball, ran all over Pittsburgh with Rico Dowdle, who was looking like Jamal Charles in that game. So there's a lot of pause for me in terms of the market right now with the Steelers team. And I remember bringing up on Laying the Points, Chris, that the Steelers schedule at the end of the year. So they go Raiders, Jets, Giants, then their bye week. Then they go at Commanders, four straight AFC North games, at Eagles, at Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals. And then their season's over. So they need this one. Like, 4-2 going, like 4-2 going into the Jets game at home, and the Giants at home leaves them about maybe 5-3, maybe even 6-2 going into the bye week, and then shit, they're fucked.
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking it up. I'm trying to find the Steelers' current win total. It's 8.5. I mean, this might be the time to buy under, right?
Wow, that is like, I would probably would have guessed around 9 or 9.5 just because of what they, you know, they started 3-0, and the schedule the next 3 weeks isn't that crazy. But, you know, like, they do play during that four straight AFC North stretch. They do play the Browns twice, but I guarantee you they'll find a way to fuck up one of them. Like they will not. I don't think this team can sweep either of any of the three AFC North teams, and no one sweeps in the AFC North.
Six more wins, though, for the Steelers, you know, based on that schedule, sounds like a big endeavor. And you can get plus money, at least at DraftKings. I just looked plus 100 on Steelers under at this point. You know, maybe you get even more value if they win this week. So maybe you wait. I do think they're going to win this. I'll say this, Jake. The one matchup that I do like is you have to attack the Raiders front seven. You know, they obviously have a lot of talent there on their defensive line, probably the most talented unit that the Raiders have. And I like that the Steelers offense is, that's what they do, right? They try to run downhill. They're going to run Justin Fields out of there. So I think that could actually work against the Raiders defense. And there's has to be some regression for the Pittsburgh defense after what they allowed last week at home. I mean, I didn't see that coming from Rico Dowdle or the Cowboys at all either. So matchup wise, stylistically, I do like this game for Pittsburgh, but I hear you, man. Hey, I put the Steelers as a borderline top 10 team in my power ratings a week ago, and you best believe I'm going to retreat off of that a little bit. All right, let's go. Falcons at the Carolina Panthers. Your Panthers, Jake, or the team that you like to bet a lot. This is up to 6.5 points in favor of the Falcons. And I got to be honest, Jake, this might be the spot where I want to take the Panthers. I'm not sure. I'm not sure the Falcons should be demanding a 6.5-point road chalk position at this point. And I think the Falcons could become one of those teams who just play a lot better at home in a dome, right, where Kirk Cousins can kind of chill out a little bit. This is a divisional game still. The Carolina Panthers haven't been completely awful, although things have, you know, definitely been looking pretty bad, but they've also faced some good defenses recently. I'm not sure if Atlanta's defense is quite at that caliber. So I believe it or not, I'm leaning to the Carolina Panthers this week. Are you gonna fade them for once, Jake?
No, I'm certainly not gonna fade them with, you know, Raheem Morris as a 6-point road favorite in a divisional game. But I don't know. There's some pause here. I would be all over the Panthers if it wasn't for the injuries, if I'm being honest. But you know, Leggett's hurt, Thielen's not there, he's on IR. The linebackers are banged up. Derek Brown's out. They lose Clowney now, who looks like he's gonna miss a week. So they're a mess in terms of the injuries. Not really a team that you want to have any faith in, but it is a big number. And the offense still, even though, you know, they go against great pass defense in Chicago and they get blitzed, Atlanta's not going to pose that much of a threat. They let Baker Mayfield pretty much do anything he wanted. The Falcons were very lucky to win that game at home. Now you play another divisional game. I get you have the extra rest. The Panthers going back home. So I think that kind of balances out a little bit. But it's a good matchup for Carolina's offense, and the total replicates that. It's a approaching 48. So I think both teams can score points here, which certainly lean towards Carolina's side if I can get the hook.
Yeah, another game we probably want to watch out for some weather in this one. So weather pending, I agree with you. This is a game where the Carolina Panthers can actually experience some success. And if you look at this from a coaching perspective, probably pretty even here, right? Like Raheem Morris is clearly still figuring things out over there, just kind of taking chances or maybe even guesses every week. And, you know, David Canales is clearly figuring things out still too. But they're back at home, kind of a rally, rah-rah spot for the Panthers to at least show out a little bit. So strong lean for me on the Panthers, as much as I don't want to say that is where I'm looking right now, especially since we're getting above a few key numbers there. I don't think it's going to move up to seven, Jake, but if God forbid we see a seven here, I no doubt that I'll be on the Carolina.
Yeah, Panthers. It doesn't look like it. Six is pretty consensus. There's still a 6.5 at FanDuel. I think ESPN just hit 6.5 too. So
yeah, juiced even at BetOnline, right? I mean, that's a pretty sharp book. So I doubt it's going in that direction, but who knows, right? Before this game, you could see some public movement, or there's usually not public movement, but in the masses, you might see some late game movement here. Okay, final game to go over, Jay. Look at us. It's only 56 minutes into the NFL roundtable. Of course, we've had some transient things going on in this NFL roundtable. We appreciate everybody listening in another week to us here, going over all of our NFL bets from the various opinions that join us every week. So thank you so much again. Final game is a very good one, or you might think it was going to be a very good one in seasons past. I'm not sure how good this game is going to be, Jake, because I also am getting to the point where I love the Detroit Lions. However you line this game, I think this could actually be a blowout. There's a lot of matchups that they match up very well. I think CeeDee Lamb is probably still going to get his, and like Ryan already mentioned, Dak Prescott is going to have the ball in his hands a lot and probably stack up some yards. But I love the Lions off a bye. I love Danny off a bye, preparing this team in a big spot at Dallas. And I think this is kind of the time, like we saw it right from the Lions in their last performance, right? Jared Goff absolutely lit up the Seattle Seahawks, played a near perfect game. Did he have an incomplete pass by the end of that one?
No, ball did not hit the ground.
18 for 18, right?
Yep.
So I think this is the point, right, where we start seeing clobbering time from the Detroit Lions. Maybe the only team in the NFL who might cause some separation here and actually look like an elite team every single week. I think that was kind of the start of it 2 weeks ago in week four. And now we get it again here against Dallas. There's just not a lot of matchups that I like for Dallas in this one, especially for their injuries on defense. Let me pass it over to you, Jake. Lions and Cowboys at AT&T.
Best bet, Lions. Again, I think they're the best team in the league. And I don't think this Cowboys team is very serious. So this spot is like, don't you think when the schedule came out in May that Dan Campbell, mini camp, they had his guys look at the schedule and they circled this big game against Dallas because they got fucked last year and should have won. This is going to not, I'm not going to say it's their Super Bowl, because obviously this Lions team has those aspirations, and I think that they should be the favorite in the NFC. But this one off a bye too. Oh, this is the, there's so many Dallas still can't run the ball. I don't like one game, whatever, fine. I don't think that they can replicate that. Will we see Micah in this game? I don't know. Will we? We won't see Lawrence. He's going to be out. And there's still some other injuries on this Dallas team that you got to monitor. I think Detroit's going to be pretty healthy off the bye. The linebackers will be healthy. Anzalone and Barnes, I think, is back too. They'll get Branch back as well. So, yeah, this is a Lions spot for me. I think they find their the fourth highest explosive play team. Dallas' defense has done a pretty shitty job stopping those explosives this year. So, I love this matchup for the Lions off the bye. I don't care who's home. I think this is a big coaching mismatch. This is my best bet.
Yeah, this is going to be my best bet too. And, you know, Micah Parsons, there's some talk that maybe he can come back 20 hours ago. Mike McCarthy said we have got some work to do before he comes back from that high ankle sprain. So even if he does come back, he's probably not going to be 100%. He's probably not going to play as many snaps. And, you know, to your point about the Dallas rushing performance last week, I think they just caught off guard the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Mike McCarthy, he can be a pretty good game planner and play caller sometimes, and I think they just kind of hit the Steelers in the mouth. I do not expect that to happen here at Dallas in week six against a Detroit team that has been very consistent this season against the run. So you heard it here already. Jake's best bet is the Detroit Lions. That's going to be my best bet too. Jake, go ahead. You got something else. Go ahead.
No, I'm just confirming your statement.
That is our best bet. And, you know, it's not as many best bets at the end of the show as we usually have. Did we ask Patrick? I got to ask Patrick what his best bet was.
No, I don't think he gave one out. Yeah. Oh, I think he said Bengals. I think he really liked the Bengals -3. Look at us contrarians. We're taking road favorites.
-3
as our best bets. Look at us go.
Well, you know, I have virtually no fear taking the Detroit Lions as a road favorite. Yeah. There are a lot of spots, though. I mean, Pittsburgh, Chargers, Tampa Bay now, right? I mean, it's going to be a very interesting week, and usually you're on the losing end when you're betting on the road favorites. But I don't know, yeah. Jake, we saw last week a lot of favorites starting to win.
I was more scared laying 3 with the Lions in Arizona a couple of weeks ago, and I think that was one of my bigger positions in that week. And they were a little bit lucky to cover. I think they outplayed and they blitzed them in the second half, but I was more scared laying 3, 3.5 in Arizona than I am laying 3 against this Dallas team that I just don't think can keep up.
I think Dallas probably should have lost at the Giants too in week 4.
Yeah, there hasn't been many good data points for this team. I mean, an impressive win against Pittsburgh on the road to, you know, fight off of multiple turnovers, and I don't know, like Cooks is hurt.
Tomlin this week though, Jake, I'm telling you, I think this is the Steelers, but that would be my second best bet of the week, and it's ugly. But I love to fade the Steelers against those Raiders. We've seen it the last 2 seasons, and I think it's going to look very, very similar to that. With that, ladies and gents, thank you as always for listening, tuning in to the NFL Roundtable. This will be out via podcast and YouTube on our YouTube channel today as well. He's Jake Cirkus. You can follow him at Jake Cirkus. You should listen to the Jake Cirkus podcast as well. Talks a lot of college football. Of course, talks NFL as well. Very detailed. I'm sure you can tell that from Jake every single week. I am at Farley Betts. Our special guest today was Ryan Reynolds. You can follow him at Ryan Reynolds NFL. For all those folks in Florida, we're thinking of you. We're praying for you. Please stay safe. For us here at the NFL Roundtable, we'll see you again next week at 12 noon live here on X. See you later, everybody. Let's win some damn money.